There is no allegiance for a guildbreaker, but the Empire, nor a more unwelcome presence on this doorstep than a guildbreaker. I'm looking for member Occam Senir, Martin called through the intercom. The watchman of the house stayed inside, so only words met the intruder. Is the world about to end? No? Then go away. I have 800 million lives to oversee. Not possible. The Mason's tone, if not his words, apologized. I'm here to investigate last night's security breach. Martin let the computer flash his credentials. I have a warrant. I sent for our own police, not a polylaw. I know this is a humanist bash, and I will absolutely respect your hive sovereignty, but as a globally essential property, you fall under Romanova's jurisdiction. They assigned me. You think just because your bash pounces around the Sanctum Sanctorum, you can waltz in here and improve on my security? I don't believe Martin had ever before heard his boshmate's positions in the Masonic Hive's most honored guard used as an insult. He managed not to flinch. Are you member Occam Senir? I am. Occam pronounced with relish, as if, with all the lives in history laid out before him, he would have chosen this one. Martin gave a suitably respectful nod. This isn't a simple security breach. You've been framed for grand theft. We have your tracker ID logged entering the crime scene in Tokyo late last night, and 5 million euros appeared in your bank account this morning. I know it's absurd to suggest that anyone in your bash would commit a theft for profit, but I need your cooperation to find out why someone would set up something so implausible. The fact that there was also a break-in here last night can't be coincidence. The door relented at last, revealing a man of dark Indian stock to match his sister Thisbe and a physique beyond common athleticism. His shirt and pants, once plain, were now a labyrinth of doodles, black spirals, cross-hatching and hypnotic swirls, though he wore them as indifferently as if the cloth had never tasted ink. Only his humanist boots mattered. Veins of knife-bright steel framing a surface of pale, ice-gray leather, real leather, which had once guarded the taut flanks of a living deer that Occam slew himself. Like Martin, Occam wore no sign of hobby or of nation-strat, nothing but his hive boots and the overpowering self-confidence of a man who guards something so vital that the law will let him kill for it. Ancient civilizations, east and west, knew the special breath of power granted by the right to kill. That's what made sword and fasces marks of dominion, lord over peasant, male over female, magistrate over petitioner. Our centuries of peace have so perfected non-lethal force that even police serve content without the right to kill. But we are not fools. To those who protect the Commonwealth entire, the guards around the Olenyuk virus lab, the Sanctum Sanctorum, and to Occam here, we grant any means necessary. A knife, a branch, even that deadly instrument, the fist, to guard 1 million lives. Even if they never exercise this rarest right, still somehow every glance and gesture of such guardians still breathes the ancient force of knighthood. I am Occam Senir. What is it that I'm supposed to have stolen? Martin nodded respect. The unpublished Black Sakura 710 list. Scorn deepened on Occam's face. Who'd pay 5 million for a vacuous editorial that goes to press in 2 days? I could give you a nice long list, but I don't know who'd pay 5 million to frame you. Did you visit the Black Sakura office yesterday? Have you ever dealt with them at all? Occam still blocked the doorway, stubborn as a sculpture in its niche. If I cared about newspapers, I'd pick the Olympian or El País. The paper's absence was reported at 7 o'clock p.m. Tokyo time, 6 a.m. your time. Any chance you might have taken your tracker off in the hours shortly before that? Paper? Yes. The stolen list was a handwritten manuscript on paper. Black Sakura is antiquarian that way. Occam's face grew harder. That's what my breach was? An intruder left a piece of paper in the house with Japanese writing on it? Martin swallowed. May I see it? I do have jurisdiction. He let the warrant flicker across Occam's lenses. The humanist drew back with a mastiff's reluctance. Don't touch anything without asking. Understood. The mason crossed the threshold with the tiptoe reverence he usually reserves for his own capital. There was little in the entryway apart from an ankle-high security robot, which let itself be seen to remind the visitor of its myriad hidden kin. As loyal humanists, the Sanir Weeksbooth Bash did try their best to line the entrance hall with the traditional relics of triumphs, but since most of them did little but their work, and their celebrity member keeps his home a secret, their tiny spattering of diplomas and pictures, Thisbe's trophies, Cato's book cover, drowned on the walls like an unfinished mural. Is that judgment in the eyes of this young guildbreaker? Smugness as he surveys the poor showing of the Sanir Weeksbooths, whose name rivals his own in the triumphant annals of the Bash system? I researched which of the two is really older, since so many Bashes form and dissolve with every generation that any famous Bash which lasts more than three will spawn the rumor of antiquity. I found what I must call a noble tie. Regan Makoto Cullen broke with her great teacher Adolf Richter Brill on November 4th, 2191. Break with is easy to say, but not so easy to do. To face the man who has been your patron, teacher, foster father for 25 years, the man all Earth hails as the great mind of the century, who mapped the psyche in undreamt of detail, who revolutionized education, linguistics, justice, to face him down and say, "Sir, you are wrong. So wrong that I shall turn the world against you." It's not the numbers, not these rare psyches you're charting that stimulate great progress. It's groups. I've studied the same inventors, authors, leaders that you have, and the thing that most reliably produces many at once, the effect you've worked so hard to replicate, is when people abandon the nuclear family to live in a collective household, 4 to 20 friends, rearing children and ideas together in a haven of mutual discourse and play. We don't need to revolutionize the kindergartens. We need to revolutionize the family. This heresy, this bash, which Cullen shortened from ibasho, a Japanese word like home but stronger, this challenge to Brill's great system, Cullen did not dare present without extensive notes. In those notes, still held as relics in Brill's Institute, you will find the test bashes Cullen set up in the 2170s, including both Weeksbooth and Guildbreaker. Is that sound the computers? Martin half-whispered, not daring to touch the walls, which hummed as if channeling some distant stampede. Generators, Occam answered. We can power the system for 2 weeks, even if main and secondary both fail. The processors are farther back. He led Martin on to the Bash House's central chamber, a high, broad living room ringed with cushy gray sofas, with a glass back wall that looked down over the next tiers of the sloping city to the crashing blue of the Pacific. The western sunlight through the window cast a halo around the room's famed centerpiece, the pudgy, pointed oval silhouette of Mukta. You know her from your schooling, duly memorized alongside the Nina, the Pinta, and Apollo 11. But you do not know her as we who walked those halls know her. her shadow across the carpet, her texture as you coax dust from the pockmarks scored in her paint by the bullet-fierce dust of 9,640 kilometers per hour. Is that the original? Reverence made Martin's words almost a whisper. Of course. Occam gave Mukta a careful caress, as one gives an old dog not strong enough to leap and wrestle anymore. Heart of the family business. Coming up on 400 years, it's never left the Bosch. Martin gazed up through the glass wall to the sky, where today's cars, Mukta's swarming children, raced on, invisibly swift until they slowed for landing. So they seemed to appear over the city like eggs laid by the chubby clouds. And the computers? How deep would an intruder have to get to reach them? Deep, Occam answered. Many stories, many tears. Thumps through the ceiling made both glance up, the footsteps of a Bosch mate upstairs. How about to reach an interface? Martin asked. The next room has some interface nets. Occam nodded to his left. But they're set nets, Cartesian. No one who wasn't trained from birth could get them to respond. Mason. Your security is mostly automated? Humanist. I could have 50 guards here in 2 minutes, 300 in five. But human power is less than 4% of my security. Mason. You think there's no danger this intruder could return and cause a mass crash? Humanist. A mass crash is not possible. Mason. You're sure? Are you disconcerted by this script-like format, reader? It was common in our 18th century, description lapsing into naked dialogue. To such enlightened readers, all histories were plays, or rather, one play, scripted by one distant and divine playwright. Humanist. A mass crash is not the danger. The system will ground all the cars if any tampering's detected, and they can self-land with the system dead. The problem is shutting down all transit on Earth for however long it took us to recheck the system. Could be minutes, hours. The sensor told me a complete shutdown would cost the world economy €1 billion a minute, not to mention stranding millions, cutting off supplies, ambulances, police. That's your catastrophe. Mason. Or, at the very least, the century's most destructive prank. Humanist. Utopians? Confess, reader, the name has risen in your mind, too, conjured by stereotype, as talk of secret handshakes brings masons before your eyes, or war brings priests. Martin frowned. Not utopians necessarily, though such mischief is not beyond them. Humanist. They have a separate system. They're the only ones. Mason. Do you think they'd reap a profit if they shut you down and then let the other hives rent out their cars? Humanist. They wouldn't. Mason. Rent their cars? Humanist. They don't have the capacity to put that many cars in the sky. They don't have the reserves we do. They'd be overrun. At Occam's signal, the house summoned its second showpiece, a projection of the Earth in her slow spin, with the paths of the car's flights traced across in threads of glowing gold. Hundreds of millions crisscrossed, dense as penstrokes, drowning out the continents so the regions of the globe were differentiated only by texture. Oceans, smooth masses of near-parallel paths, like fresh-combed hair, while the great cities bristled with so many crisscrossing journeys that Earth seemed to bleed light. Each car's position en route was visible like a knot in the thread, crawling forward as the seconds crawled, so the whole mass scintillated like the dust of broken glass. The display is functionless, of course, a toy to dazzle houseguests, but a humanist Bosch must make some amends for a shabby trophy wall. Humanist. Gold is my system. The utopian cars are blue, and Romanova's emergency system cars are red. Can you see them? Martin squinted as the end of a baseball game in Cairo made the city blaze with fresh launches. Not a trace. Exactly. I have 800 million passengers in the air at a time, making them compete for 30 million utopian cars who do a lot more harm than profit. A shutdown helps no one.